This is Church Tech Profiles, episode 6 for the week of September 14th, 2020, Sean Miller. Well, hey, everybody. Before we get started, I just wanted to say thank you so much for downloading this podcast and spreading the word. We're starting to get a lot of downloads and getting a lot of excitement around the podcast. I really appreciate it. If there's a tech out there or someone you think might benefit from these interviews, please share this with them. I really appreciate it. Also, if you'll please go over to our social media pages, Church Tech Pro on Twitter, Church Tech Profiles on Instagram, and we also have a Facebook that is Church Tech Profiles. Go over there and like us, follow us. I really, really appreciate it. And the last thing is, of course, please go over to iTunes. And even if you don't use iTunes as your regular app for podcast, go over to iTunes and give us a great review. And if you'd be so kind as to give us a 5-star rating, that would be fantastic. I really am trying to get up in the algorithms there, the infamous algorithms, as we always say. So I really appreciate that. And of course, if you want to get a hold of me, you can always do so through the website, which is thesoundbooth.com. That's thesoundbooth.com. And you can also email me at van@thesoundbooth.com. So with that, let's start the interview. Well, welcome everybody to another edition of Church Tech Profiles. I am Van Metschke, and I have the pleasure of having Sean Miller on the podcast today. Sean is the technical director for Rolling Hills Community Church in the Nash Vegas sector of our country. I was going to say you're in Nashville, but you actually have, what, 5 campuses, physical campuses, 6 campuses?
Three physical and then online, depending online. On, you know, yeah. How you count that.
Right. And so you're like in the Nashville area, right?
I work out of the Franklin campus, so just south of Nashville, and then we have a Nashville campus. Yep.
Right. Cool. Yeah. So, Sean and I have been talking a little bit back and forth for a while about having him on. And, so I just thought we might as well just pull the trigger and make this happen. So thanks for taking the time to do this.
Oh, I love it. I love what you're doing. I love being here, and I got to follow Todd Elliott, but you know, I'll try to do my best. So
yeah, that's really hard actually. Todd's awesome. So what?
Exactly. That's why I'm like, oh, well, I guess, you know, we could just talk about Todd. That would be fine.
Todd's like the legend. So yeah. So no, those are always fun podcasts with him. So Sean, I just wanted to, you know, get the actual profiles thing out of the way. So I feel like this podcast is, we generally are not, it's not really Church Tech Profiles podcast really. But I feel like I'm kind of obligated to do part that portion of the podcast. So tell me, like, you're at Rolling Hills now. How long have you been there? What is your role? I mean, I know you're tech director, but like, what's your role? What's kind of like your, what do you oversee and all that stuff?
Awesome. Yeah. So, Rolling Hills, I've actually been here 3 years this week. Just, you know, it's an interesting time, obviously. So I oversee our, you know, the weekend production. I'm on what we call central staff as a multi-site. So I tech director for Franklin, but then oversee, you know, tech campus wide, you know, across the multi-sites. I also oversee IT because why not? That sounds fun. And then I have a big hand in our online campus. There was a time there I actually oversaw it, and then I think as I headed towards a mental breakdown, it was like, hey, let's not have that on my plate.
Well, I bet you're glad that now. Did you head towards the mental breakdown because of the beer bug, or was it before that?
It was pre-COVID. So oh, okay. It was, there you go. All right, pre-COVID.
Okay. So, well, when you have to handle the online and IT, man, those are like two very sharp ends of the pitchfork.
Well, it's just one of those. It was like, technically, you know, if you start depending, you know, every church has a different metric of how they rate online attendance or whatnot. But through our metric that we were using, I mean, it was our second largest campus of viewership and whatnot. And so, I mean, it was a big deal, and we were working to make it better and all that. But it was between trying to get volunteers here and grow that and cater it. I'm also on the pastoral staff at the church. So, you know, that adds to responsibilities and whatnot, but, you know, wanting to care for the team, not just be the tech guy pushing buttons. And so it was like, it was just too much. And so luckily they were gracious in saying it was too, you know, hearing me out and going, no, just push a little harder, Sean. They heard it.
Yeah.
And pulled that administrative side off of my plate. So that was good.
Well, I think most, you know, most pastors don't want, we were talking about this. I can't remember who I was. This podcast is going to air, just so you know, this podcast actually is going to air after, Justin Firesheets, who I just interviewed.
Oh yeah.
And we were just talking about how, pastors don't actually want us to burn out as tech directors, but we think they do for some weird reason. Like, we're like, I'm sure he's trying to drive me into the ground. Well, he's not even thinking about that most of the time. He's just like, he doesn't know. And so we kind of have an obligation to tell him, to say, hey, this is, you know, too much.
Yeah. And I've always, you know, I try to remind myself that too. And like, and I've many times have to sit back and go, the executive pastor and this, you know, they're not sitting in their office wringing their hands going, how are we going to screw Sean this week? How are we, you know, it's human. It's a lot of oversight of, well, we just have to do this. Well, we'll get, you know, and it just falls to me. And I always remember too, as being a tech nerd and a recovering perfectionist and all that, that, you know, some of the problems I bring on myself, like, oh, I want to be the way I want it to be, instead of, you know, they would, half the time they'd be happy if I colored on a pizza box with crayons, but instead I drop it into After Effects and da, 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 you know, and so it's
right. Well, and the problem too, I think, is that we make it, if we do it right, we make it appear easy.
Yes.
And that gives them, you know, 'cause part of the job of a tech director, production manager, is to make our leadership feel comfortable. Like, take certain stresses off of them. What we end up doing, when I was at Mariners, our tech director, Ken Robertson, used to say, setting the bar so high, we can't jump over it. And, that was always like in our, like, we don't want to have low expectations. We want to have high expectations, but we have to be careful that we don't set it so high that now our entire team can't
attain.
We can't attain that, you know? And so it's definitely, and they're not like that. If you ask most pastors, they're like, no, I don't want my tech person to get burned out. That would be bad. You know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they don't want to, grind through tech people, you know, it's that right. That's never the dream. And so that's, you know, having that open communication, I've been really blessed at Rolling Hills to have, you know, we're a smaller church on the spectrum, but we've been staffed now by guys, you know, myself, our executive pastor, who have come from bigger multi-site churches and are bringing that. So as we're growing and going through those growing pains, we can, you know, I can go to them and just say, look, I can be vulnerable and be like, I'm dying here. I'm dying on the vine, you know, right. And, you know, get help or whatnot, you know?
Well, and that's a good thing. And that's something that, you know, everybody who's listening needs to hear it's okay. They're not going to think less of you. I mean, unless you're doing it every 5 minutes, you know, like everything is.
Well, but you can't be whiny about it.
But if you are, you know, especially in this time, I'll tell you, I've talked to so many tech people in those last 5 or 6 months during COVID that are just working like harder than they've ever worked. And they're putting out 5, 6, 7 video feeds a week that are produced now, you know, and they're just going, I'm doing this with the exact same volunteer staff that I had before. And I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel unless it's a train that's going to run me over. And I'm like, and I tell them, I said, you got to sit down with your higher ups, with your leadership, and say, this is not sustainable in its current form. So I'm asking you to help me work on a plan so that we can, you guys got to decide, do you want to keep doing it at this level? If you do, I need more competent staff to help me, because everybody just can't keep working 60 hours a week in perpetuity. It's not going to work. We're all going to burn right out.
And I found they just, you end up getting more respect when you come at it from a professional standpoint. You know, I'm not whining. I'm not, you know, but I'm coming to you with how I feel, with the reality. And here's your options. And you guys make the decision. And, you know, it helps you, you know, have a seat at the table on the leadership side there. So,
yeah. Well, it's real important most pastors are very communicative, obviously. Right.
Yeah.
Maybe not in the micro, but in the macro they are. Right. And so, which is an interesting thing I've always found. I found a lot of pastors are great with tons and tons of people, but they're not really all that good with a few people. And this is a really interesting dynamic. But if you tell them, you know, first of all, we say this all the time, you can't be the worst thing that tech people are is passive aggressive. Pastors don't like that. But you have to be straight up. You have to say this, you know, I want to provide for you guys what you want. This is not the way to do it because we're really shooting ourselves in the foot here in the long run. And they actually want to know that. Pastors don't want to go, oh yeah, let's just go until it all falls apart, you know, and they wake up one morning and their staff is resigning, you know,
right.
Because there's, and then what are they going to do? Right. I mean, we worked for a church. We were working for a church that literally the very first day of the install, the tech director resigned, and he resigned like they came in. He had cleared everything out of his office and he never came back. He did his exit interview on the phone. He moved. I mean, literally like he got in his car and he left because he was so burned out.
Wow.
And that was the first day our guys were on the site doing this huge install for them. We're like, cool. They don't have a tech director. Awesome. That's fantastic. But I'll tell you what, it was a great, I had a great opportunity to have a really long talk with their leadership because they were dumbfounded, you know, and I was able to sit with their leadership for about 2 hours and go, this is how you can make this, make sure this never happens again.
Yeah.
So just understand why this happened. Cause they had no idea. They were like, we don't know why this happened. I go, I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
And, but they were like, well, if he just told us, I'm like, yeah, well, you got to tell them in advance that it's okay for them to tell you in advance, you know? And so, but yeah, that's people will burn out. And, somebody was telling me that, I can't remember who it was, Christianity Today, or somebody had done a poll. This was several years back. And they said, when churches do huge projects like remodels and buildings and stuff like that, the two most likely people to resign when the project's done is the senior pastor and the technical director is number two.
Wow. I had not known that. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
Well, my last church, I became the tech director right as they opened, you know, 2 weeks after the new building opened and the former tech director moved to South Africa. I was like, wow, you got as far away from here as you could.
Like, it's like, I'm not just leaving the church. I'm leaving the country.
Yeah. I was like, I am so done with this building.
Yeah. You got to ask yourself, what is happening there? That's crazy. Well, so you've been there for 3 years now. So what, like what is going, you know, we're in this time of the COVID-19 thing going on. And so, you know, people are wanting to know, how has this changed? Now you guys had a major online presence obviously before. But how has it changed your online presence in the last, you know, 5 months that you've had to deal with and help with, even though you have other people that do the online stuff?
Yeah. I mean, it's, I'm just going to say pivot. Cause you have to, you know, you have to, that's the term of the year. So it's, you know, we were online. I mean, we had previously put in a broadcast console so you could, you know, have a separate mix go out there. So we were going down that route pretty well. You know, our campus was growing. You know, when this hit, what, like March 13th was the date they decided or whatever that, you know, we're not meeting. You know, it was a quick, okay, running wires everywhere. You know, we had to kind of make a pseudo control room just to be able to do everything in a hybrid way. You know, we weren't right. live, but just being able to monitor where everything went, and you know, real quick, we're building Roku apps and Apple TV apps and getting that stuff out, because we were using and still are the Church Online platform. But you know, and then as this progressed, it was, you know, Monday, you know, now you're down to, okay, you can only have 10 people in a room at a, you know, or whatever. And it was
right.
All right, Mondays we're filming student ministry services. Tuesday we film family ministry. Wednesday we do worship. Thursday we do the sermon. And, you know, Friday I edit. And so it was just, it was crazy. And so we're still, you know, as we're getting back, as Tennessee opens up a little bit here and there, you know, we're back to live services, but we're still living in both worlds. We're still pre-recording some stuff and live elsewhere, but it's, you know, it's been a major shift of just people. I mean, people aren't ready to come back and volunteer and sit on a camera and, you know, things like that. So that's been the big shift. I mean, luckily, you know, technology wise, we were pretty set for it. We did up our streaming game with, you know, Living as One, which they're not that anymore as of this week, you know, and whatnot, but just redundancies and sending out multiple streams and failover. 'Cause like that is our only way out now.
Right. Yeah.
So
are you guys going to keep putting all the curriculum that you have been doing on like all the different services? Are you going to keep doing those online as well as doing live services? Does that look like something you're going to do?
Yeah, I think we're in that process of deciding that. So this coming Sunday now is the first time elementary kids are back. And so that's, but I think, at least as I can see in my Google Drive folder, that they still have several weeks of content ready to go. You know, so I think everybody, I mean, the part of COVID is it's a waiting game. We just don't know, you know, and as we started, you know, talking about Christmas a couple weeks ago, it's like, well, we got to plan it. Like Christmas will happen, but now we have to almost plan two versions. Which way is it going to go? So.
Yeah, it's interesting. Everybody has to do something different because every state is different. Every county can be different. Every, you know, it's just all.
Well, and that's all especially for us because, you know, two of our campuses are in, you know, Williamson County. Not that that matters to listeners, but the Nashville one is Davidson. Like it's a different county with different, you know, so we're back to reopening and all that at our broadcast campus. And suddenly Nashville decides, you know, they're going back to phase two and shutting things down. And it's, you know, that causes, okay, now what do we do? What happens? So.
Yeah. And two, you know, I mean, honestly, people aren't willing. There's going to be people for a very long time that do not want to come back. And you know, the bottom line is you guys got to deal with, it doesn't even have anything to do with reality. It has to do with how the people feel.
Yeah.
Perception, you know, there's going to be people that, and honestly, there's going to be people that shouldn't come back. They should stay, you know, they should be in big groups of people and, you know, the people that are actually at risk, they need to be able to be home. Do you feel like you're going to have to totally restructure your departments if the decision is made, we're going to do live everything and we're going to do recorded everything? And are you going to do it separately so that you have two separate kinds of content, or are you just going to record the content and be a week behind? What are you guys looking at?
Yeah. So right now we do, so our online service, if you were to go watch it this Sunday is, it's actually live worship from the room. And then we've been pre-taping the sermon, for the last, you know, well, since COVID started, since June, we started this process of live worship, pre-taped sermon. And really that just comes from the fact that after several months of the pastor, I'm looking right at the camera, I'm looking right to you, you know, all that. That's really where that's birthed out of at the moment of just now that there's so many people still online, he can cater that sermon to them. It's the same sermon. He's just, you know, looking directly at them. And that's, you know, where the goal with this is because I, told them this isn't sustainable is, you know, as we're, you know, as we upgrade and get to better equipment that, you know, will hopefully someday, you know, get here, is that kind of, you know, look at Craig Rochelle at Life Church, you know, he can look at the room, look at the camera, back to the room, and it feels cohesive, you know, and that's just something we haven't had to do regularly. And so it's a lot of coaching, you know, your pastor has been preaching 20 years this way, I'm trying to teach a new trick too. So it,
right.
And he's been, you know, our senior pastor is phenomenal at it, but you know, this season we're doing, you know, double work. So, you know, this morning I wrapped up the sermon. And so on Sunday we'll go, you know, I'll hit the button and, you know, online after worship, online will go to the pre-taped, and the rest, you know, the people in the room will hear the normal sermon, but not right. The normal one, the live one.
Right. Well, it's really interesting. We even have, I have a buddy who has, who's a TD here in SoCal, and they've decided to continue to pre-record an entire service, worship and everything. So
wow.
Intimate worship. They pre-tape the pastor's message anyway. It's just easier for the campuses because they have multiple campuses like you do.
Yep.
And but they're actually pre-taping the worship in an intimate setting, and that's what's going online.
Yeah.
And they're still doing live worship at the campuses. So it's two different things, but that's just the decision that their senior leadership said, no, we want the intimate. Like if you're going to be at home, we want it to feel intimate.
Yeah.
So we're going to do everything intimate.
I think there's something our leadership, and luckily they've let me be a part of these discussions. It's just figuring out, you know, right. This new norm of online. How do we want it to be, like you're an audience member, or we've created this just for you? And I think we're figuring that out and trying it out, yeah. And, you know, review and all that. You know, I keep, you know, each Sunday I put both of them, I don't know what, you can't see me do this with my hands, but you know, we put side by side, you know, here's the pre-taped, here's the live, which one do you like better? You know, and we're just reviewing that process and saying, you know, and trying to get feedback from people as we do. I read an article from Andy Stanley's church where they said they've tried everything, you know, during the season, they have just gone through, you know, they've tried no worship. They've tried 45-minute message. Like they're just trying everything to see what works. And I think we're attempting that on our scale as well. Like, okay, we've said we're going to do this for 6 weeks and we'll see what the reaction is from people. So.
Well, I think it's been really interesting that, you know, analytics are a brutal dictator, you know, and when you start looking at the analytics of how long people have retention for the message versus worship, like, well, the spikes, like people click off and stuff like that. It's actually really good. If you just have to have a really tough skin looking at it, you know, I think a lot of pastors are realizing that they got to land the plane in 30 minutes. They can't speak for 45 minutes like they could live. They have to be, you know, and, you know, I've heard pastors say, look, I can give a message in 30 minutes. I just don't want to. That's the bottom line. I want to give a 45-minute message. I could do a 30-minute message every week and get across what I want to get across. I just don't want to do it. And so it's just, I think everybody's, and I think this is, I mean, have you guys found that this is a good time to kind of just look at everything? Like just look at everything you guys are doing in it and just, and reevaluate.
Absolutely. I mean, it really, and that's, I think what we're in this time of just, you know, relooking at the calendar, relooking at events, relooking at, you know, what are we doing? You know, I always joke that we're Rolling Hills Community Church and Convention Center and, you know, but it is, I mean, we've, you know, and we, part of our budget comes from, you know, rentals and stuff, but you're not renting the facility out for, you know, we are doing a lot of streaming events at this point because we have the infrastructure, but we're reevaluating all sorts, like how are we going to do small groups? How are we going to do, you know, and what, you know, did this, is it worth the trouble of this event? What did it win us last year? Was it just fun? Did it actually, and they're bouncing all this stuff off of, you know, these goals of, you know, reaching people, you know, is the spiritual side of it, you know, because we can get bogged down in a whole lot of good, you know, and
right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's true. I mean, you know, you could do a, they kind of, you know, kind of have a And well, and right now that has to have all changed, especially now that, you know, this whole thing is a lot of events aren't happening. A lot of events are not going to happen, you know, and for a very long time. I mean, for the foreseeable future, there's always going to be people that they're not going to come back to an event. They're just not.
Yeah. No.
And so.
Well, and not to get into the philosophy side of it, I don't know if it's philosophy, but, you know, there's also the people that, and I'm not, because a lot of churches are great, you know, but we've heard it from, you know, they've fallen in love with the new norm of, oh, I can just be in my pajamas, make pancakes and watch the service too. You know, there's a bit of that we've, you know, people, we've created a great experience online and that's their new norm, you know? And so we're trying to get however you believe community works. I'm not going to get into the theology of that, but you know, that's a real thing happening too.
Yeah. Well, and people are, I don't know. I think ultimately most people want community, you know, maybe not with 2,000 people or 500 people every week, but they want to have like their core, like 10, 15 people around them. And so I think humans will always push towards getting back to where they can hang out with people. I guess that's just, you know, do you want to make it so good that they never have to leave their couch? But you have to make it good enough so that people will actually keep tuning in. So there's like,
right. Yeah.
You know, so there's like that whole thing. Well, we can get back to this in a minute. Yeah. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about kind of your past, your journey, about how you got here, where you started. How did you get started in tech? What was like your first encounters, and kind of talk about your road to where you are now?
Yeah, well, I was born at a very young age. We'll fast forward.
That's good.
I'm a pastor's kid, and you know, I started. I wandered into the tech booth at my dad's church. It was up in the balcony. It was the, you know, only thing in the balcony. You know, the old good old crow's nest tech booth set up. And I mean, I couldn't even see over the ledge. I had to sit on a chair to, you know, use the Mackie 3204, whatever it was, you know, time. And I fell in love with the tech side of it. And, you know, we had 35mm projectors on either side with the remotes taped together, and you'd hold it in one hand and ka-chunk, ka-chunk. And that was your lyrics, you know. And
awesome.
But I mean, I started that when I was 10 years old, and, you know, I remember the volunteer tech guy at the time, you know, was a teenager in his 20s, and I was looking at the rack or something. He goes, you know, the best way you're going to learn this is, you know, unplug it and put it back together. And I think he was kidding, but I did it. And, you know, so it was, you know, learning signal flow and all of that. And so that was, you know, as a kid, so I just, you know, I helped us get projectors and all that as I grew up at the church, and I was eventually on staff for a short time. But all that while, you know, a local, you know, the regional sound company who would help us do installs, you know, was like, hey, come on, check us out, you know, come work with us here. So, you know, I remember as a kid, you know, I couldn't drive. My dad had to take me to an OC Supertones concert they were doing. And, you know, they let me help out a little. I think I was a stagehand for a minute. And, but I was like, this is it. And so all through high school, like, I didn't do sports because I'm a nerd, but like, I was the kid in high school that would get called out of class to go fix other classroom issues. And, but you know, on the weekends I was working concerts, I was doing stuff. So at, you know, 16, 17 years old, I'm working at the casino over by Chicago, you know, running sound or production with, you know, Jerry Lee Lewis. And I used to say Bill Cosby. You can't say that anymore. But you know, that was one of the big ones. I was like, that was always on the top of my resume, you know, worked with, but you know, so that was that. And then one day I got a call for, a friend that had made it through American Idol and, you know, got kicked off, but got a deal, and they wanted me to go out on tour with them. And so I was headed to college and decided I was going to go tour instead of go to college, for audio. And so I got real life experience. I toured for several years and met my wife, and decided that touring wasn't amazing anymore. I did not want to be on the road, and as much as I wanted to be. So when I was out on a Newsboys tour, and Paul Coleman from the Paul Coleman Trio at the time, well, he was Newsboys at the time, he did actually was doing some like pre-marriage counseling with us, which was odd but fun, and he got me connected with a church out in San Francisco. So that was my first official, like, I'm not working at my dad's church. I'm officially at a church. And we were there for years and had our first kid and realized, you know, we're in our 20s, had a kid and we're 3,000 miles from anybody that, you know, family. And God opened a door for us to go back to Indianapolis area, which was about 2 hours from my family. And so I was TD there for 5 years and did the TD, typical TD thing where I then left there and went to work for an integrator and realized I love the integration side, but I realized I'm, you know, Liam Neeson, I have a very distinct set of skills. And I was like, I'm not good at a whole lot of things, but I'm really, you know, without sounding prideful, I'm good at Sunday morning. I'm good with that piece of it. And so God just opened a door at the church we were attending, and which is Rolling Hills. And so I've been here now for the last 3 years.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's a great story. I think a lot of TDs start out in those ways. I mean, I did the exact same thing. I mean, I was kind of going to college sort of, and then I got a chance to go on a tour and I was like, I'd rather do that than go to college and never look back. And then at 6 years into that, we wanted to have kids. And I was like, yeah, you know, touring with, I don't want to.
Well, you know, unless you're like big name, it's like, oh, the band takes time off to go write. They don't need their live sound engineer or this or that. Yeah. Like they're getting paid. I'm not. I got to go find another gig. It was too stressful to be a newlywed and all that.
Well, I don't even care. I mean, unless you're, you know, like from my day, it would be like Amy Grant or Michael W. Smith or somebody like that. Unless you were on those tours, all the other Christian tours were, you know, seeing all the greatest truck stops in America and eating at, eating at the Waffle House at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, with a bunch of truckers. That was the glamorous life of Christian.
Your merch money and going, okay, we can all have.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Staying in KOAs, pulling the bus into a KOA would be in between gigs and stuff like that. So it's not as glamorous as I think people would. I had somebody one time say, man, when you were young, you were living my dream. I go, I don't think I was living your dream. I don't think you know what that was. It was not that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fun. It was a blast. You know, I don't regret it. I learned a ton.
Yeah. And I loved, you know, there were a few years afterwards where I'd get to go out and, you know, fill in for a guy, you know, for a weekend here and there. Oh, I loved that. But it was like, I get to go home at the end of this and I'm back to reality, you know. So that's, you know, I don't regret it. It was a great experience. But, yeah, it wasn't I thought it was my dream when I was, you know, 15 years old. And then it wasn't.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, we shouldn't be listening to 15-year-olds anyway. I mean.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, sorry. Sorry if I offend any 15-year-olds out there, but, you know.
You'll understand when you're.
Well, it's one of those things where a 15-year-old should be heard, but their life advice, you know, I mean.
Right.
If I took my life advice when I was 15, I'd be dead in a gutter somewhere. So, you know, so I could say that. It was really funny. One time my daughter goes, Dad, when do guys stop being stupid? This was when she was young, you know, she was in high school. And I said, I don't know, like 32. And from the kitchen, my wife goes, 37. And I'm like, what your mom said. It's true. Whatever. Listen to her.
Listen to her. Yeah, exactly.
She knows. She's lived with me a long time. Listen to her. But well, that's cool. So what's on the horizon for, you know, like this, you said you guys were talking about Christmas. So how are you guys navigating this like complete unknown about what's happening right now? Like obviously I know there's probably some things you can't share, but what do you guys like, what's kind of the path that you guys are trying to build for yourselves right now?
Well, we have an interesting, that's not unique to us. Lots of churches are doing drive-in stuff. We have a member of our church, because, you know, we're in you know, the Nashville production area. And so we have a guy in our church that, you know, did live events and stuff. I mean, his business just bottomed out at this. And so one of the ways he's trying to, you know, stay afloat and keep his employees going is we have a 20-acre field next door to us that the church owns. And so he's, I'm air quoting again, you can't see me do that, but he's leased it from us. But he's just put up a giant, you know, 4K LED wall, and he's hosting drive-in movies. Well, part of the lease is, you know, we get to use it on, you know, Wednesdays and Sundays and special event, you know. And so, you know, like last 2 weeks ago or whatever, you know, my team were pulling, you know, we're pulling fiber through the building and out into the field and all this. And, you know, and so what, like the big part of, you know, Christmas and whatnot is, you know, are we, people are, you know, do we do a, and this is literally just things we talked about this last week, so nobody hold me to it. But, you know, it's, do you do a ticketed event, you know, for our big Christmas concert that, you know, you get X amount of people inside and they actually pay for it and that goes to ministry, you know, to our missions and stuff. But then you do a big drive-in and just we're trying to be creative. We're trying to say, right, we want you to be here. We want community. We want to provide the norm. We don't want to just say, well, we'll catch Christmas next year. We want to provide some stability and stuff, but it's getting creative. Our family men team is, you know, family ministry is just anything they can, but, you know, drive-in movies are big right now. We had, you know, we had the inflatable screen and all that set up, but now you have this giant thing where you can put 500 cars out in this parking lot. And, you know, so we're doing that more regularly and stuff, but that opens that door up to, oh, well, our big, you know, this service, or we could do this thing out there. We were talking about doing a big Labor Day service out there just because it's already hard enough to get volunteers. Now add Labor Day on top of it, you know, and stuff. Yeah. You know? And so those are some of those ideas and just, you know, where we, but we don't know. I mean, that's the big part. So you're planning kind of dual purpose pieces.
Right. Well, and I think that's the flexibility part. I think if you can as a church, I'm just seeing churches try to say, look, here's this opportunity. Here's this opportunity. Here's this opportunity. Do what feels comfortable to you, but still be involved in church. I mean, I think that's probably the biggest part is trying to make sure that people stay involved. I mean, that's probably the biggest struggle of a church is to not let people to get disconnected.
Yeah. And just, you know, keeping community, keeping reach outs, keep, you know, and that's what I'm, you know, with my tech team, you know, as I saw, you know, the over the course of this, you know, when this first started, the first couple of weeks, this was a novelty and it was so cool. And as this you know, as COVID is dragged on, if you dragged, drugged, whatever, it, you know, as it's gone on. I mean, it's just the, you know, I got a lot of high school students that, and I love students on the team. They are phenomenal, but yeah, they've gotten out of the habit of coming regular, you know, when we were taping, you know, we tape on a Wednesday morning. Well, you know, people have just gotten out of the habit. And so, you know, getting people back and stuff, it's created a whole new thing of how do you get volunteers during a season when you're not seeing them,
Yeah, and it's, you know, a lot of, like you said, I think at the very beginning of this, there's people that just don't want to, even though they're great people, they're amazing people, they're loyal, the whole shot, but they just, they're for fear or their health reasons or whatever, they don't want to come back. And even if they're in a place where, I mean, they're socially distanced from other people, really, and they're not really interacting, they just don't want to do it. They just don't have the comfort.
Well, and I've tried to put, you know, get replacement, ClearCom stuff, you know, so guys aren't, you know, if we're like our camera team swaps out each service just so they're, but you know, I've had two of my great volunteers, you know, they said as numbers continue to go up, I don't feel comfortable. And you can't argue with them. Why would you ever do that? You know, but they just, you know, it's that philosophy, you know, they're not comfortable, and I get it, and I support them, and we'll be here when they're ready, and you know, but that's just the reality we live in, that, you know, right. And that what I was going to say with that is they're already dealing with having to go to work and to the grocery store and deal with the kid. It's like this is one of those, I hate to call it an extracurricular, but when you look at the big scheme of things,
yeah,
you know, oh, I can just watch this at home. And I'll come back when I feel safe. Like this is, it's almost a safety blanket. Like I don't, you know, so I just, but that's the reality we're dealing with.
Yeah. I'd say it's definitely a challenge. I mean, just keeping people involved and how many staff do you have in the technical department? That's actual staff that works for the church.
So I'm the only full-time person. I do have, thankfully in June, they hired me a full-time IT person. So I can oversee IT, but I'm not in the IT weeds every day.
That's great.
And then I've got, you know, a part-time tech associate. And then we have tech directors at each of our campuses that are, you know, part-time 25 to 30 hours a week.
Right.
And then, you know, I've got, we have a residency program so we have people that can come in. They come in for a year at a time. And so I've got a worship arts resident. And then I've also got a worship arts intern who's here for the semester. And so, and then contractors. I live and die off of contract help. So,
right, yeah.
Being able to just, here's this extra piece, go do that.
Well, and contractors right now are this is the only place. I mean, honestly, the church is one of the few places that they're actually getting steady work, you know, because.
Well, and we had an opening, my tech associate, we had an opening come up during COVID, and the guy we hired is a longtime volunteer who he's front of house for a national country artist who's not doing anything. And I said, well, come work for me till January when maybe, you know, it's just a. And I mean, it's been phenomenal to, you know, I went to our executive pastor. I said, if we put this ad out in Nashville, we're going to get inundated with people who are all going to leave when the tour industry comes back. So let's use this guy who already has, experience and knows the DNA of the church. So yeah, that's been, you know, one thing we're doing.
Yeah. And that's like here in Southern California, where I am, is exactly the same way. Cause you have tons of people that are in the production industries, all the theme parks and movie industry and all that. I mean, there's Nashville and LA are very similar. There's tons of there's tons of venues, tons of theaters, you know, just like all the stuff. And all these people were put out of work, like just boom, one day they just didn't have a job. They're just, they're very willing to work. They're very motivated. The rental, you know, this is something that I tell churches right now. I said, look, if you need to rent gear, this is a good time to do it because all the rental houses are very motivated to give you stuff for pretty much whatever. It's like 2 weeks, 3 weeks for $500. Sure, whatever. As long as we're making money and it's not in our shop, I'm willing to do it. Don't be afraid to rent gear now. I was talking to somebody who was saying, yeah, we don't really want to rent. It's really expensive. I go, call them back now. Did you talk to them?
Yeah.
Did you talk to them after COVID? No, these quotes were last year. I'm like, no, call them now.
Last year at Christmas when we forgot to call 3 months early. Yeah. You know, you were paying prime rates then, you know, now they're begging people to rent stuff.
And that's, and you know, honestly, for all my friends that own rental houses and stuff like that, I talked to a lot of them. They're not mad about that at all. They're like, look, man, this is what the market is. We need to move this stuff and we'll negotiate because I'd rather have $5 than try to hold out for 10 and never get it. So, you know, and when the market goes back up, then prices will change again. But right now, you know, they are what they are. You know, there's some places that are trying to hold out for stuff, but they just, you know, the longer this drags on, that's just not going to happen. That's not possible.
Right. And
the smart business people are going, sure, no problem. We'll rent that. We'll rent it to you right now. Because I mean, I'd rather work, I don't know about you, but I'd rather work for $5 an hour and work than hold out for $7 an hour and never work.
Exactly. And that's exactly it.
You know, and that's what, and production people are like that anyway. They're going to get a job. I mean, if they can work, they're going to work, you know. It's very different than in a lot of other professions. Well, cool. So what, are you getting time off? I mean, are you getting time off during the week? Do you have like, are your pastoral staff treating you well?
They are. I mean, again, back to, I think we said this earlier, you know, some of it's self-inflicted. You know, I could, with that, we went, you know, with, when March, when that hit, you know, being in IT as well, it was, oh, I've got, you know, 80 some staff. I've got to be able to get work from home. So, you know, I never left. I never worked from home. I was at the church every day,
right,
you know, making sure all that worked. And so that was exhausting. And the church was very gracious, you know, as we pulled out of this, you know, at the end of the fiscal year and whatnot, they were very generous and, understanding and accolades and all that. So that was, it's an interesting time too, because I left, I'm totally diverting, but in the tech world, we went from being the guys that have toys to being the heroes. Like, I had tools, not toys anymore. And so it was, you know, all of a sudden I'm in all the meetings and things that I'd been wanting to be like, hey guys, it would be better if we talked about the tech side or the production element beforehand. You know, suddenly that's all happening. And so that's been good. But time off, you know, I'm getting it here and there. I have just now started to be able to turn stuff back over. You know, there was just a season there where I was like, oh, I don't exactly know how all this got rewired. You know, we were pulling wire this way and that way. And it was like, you know, just setting people up for success. I didn't want to, you know, all right, well, I kind of remember where I did all that. Go ahead. You know, so we've, right, you know, just this last week I took, you know, Sunday off and things went well, but it's trying to take more time off during the week has been more what I've done. And I've just told them, you know, like when I'm at, we have a video team somehow down the road, whatever there was an agreement, you know, if it happens in the auditorium, I edit it. And so I've been doing all the sermon editing, which is fine, 'cause I'm persnickety about it. Right. But, you know, I've just said, you know, I do all that editing at home. I'm not going to sit at my desk at church. And so, you know, I've got better editing rigs at home, you know, from just private stuff. And, you know, so that's been good too. I can do it a little bit. I'm getting that time at home that everybody else got from, you know, March to May.
Right. And yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Well, how are you dealing with we talked a little bit about this before, but how are you dealing with your volunteers? I mean, how has that kind of all played out, you know, in all of this as you're getting back to doing regular services?
I mean, obviously the volunteers that are comfortable, you know, not to go down a political bent, but you have the two camps of people. You've got the people that just are over this, you know, and right. So I've got a good group of volunteers that are just like, I want to work every weekend. I'm like, okay, I'll work you two weekends out of them. I don't want to burn right. you out. I need you for the long haul.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's a lot of communication and a lot of shoulder taps and just touching base. And, you know, we're constantly on our church, internal chat, you know, like, oh, have you seen so-and-so recently? No, yes, I texted them, you know, and they're just on vacation or this is, you know, and it's
right.
keeping up with, you know, I'm as I'm sure most churches use planning centers. So, you know, I'm constantly, you know, snooping on the back end of like, all right, when was the last time they logged in? When was the last time they did, you know, and just right. checking on people. And I've had some, you know, I've had this last, over the last 3 weeks or so, I've actually had two people come off the team. You know, one is they're trying a different church and, you know, we celebrate them. And as long as you're in church, great. You know, and I have another person that's moving and, you know, so we're kind of rebirthing in a sense, and where you use this opportunity to implement some strategy changes and scheduling things, you know, that I've wanted to do, which you can't just do at the turn of a, you know, or flip of a switch.
Right.
You know, so, you know, trying to get more rotations and teams and, you know, stuff that I can't wait to hear what Justin Firesheet said, you know, in his interview, but, cause I respect that guy's leadership. But yeah, just, you know, trying to care on them. I mean, that's the, when I came on at Rolling Hills, I just said, I don't want to be the tech janitor, and not that there's anything wrong with janitors. I don't want to just push right. buttons. I want to care for people.
Yeah.
And that's part of why I'm on the pastoral staff, you know, and whatnot, is because it's, you know, my team here is smaller. When I was at Northview, we had 200 volunteers. I was like, that's a church. And it's like, these people are coming to me when, you know, I got a guy that's just texted me this morning, one of my key volunteers. Hey, I just found out I have to have surgery on Tuesday. You know, they're coming to me, and I'll share that with the pastor. Yeah. And, you know, I'll go do, you know, I've gone and sat in the hospital with my team, you know. And so it's just that caring. I'm not just, hey, I need you to run graphics. I want to know, you know, what's going on in your life. And that,
right.
I still have to get graphics done and all that, but it's making that extra effort and that time to be, you know, what's going on with life, especially my high school students. They're struggling right now. You know, they're virtual school. Some of them lost out in their senior year, and, you know, things I look at as an adult now, you know, are, I'm like, oh, well, you won't remember that, you know, that'll be one of those fun stories or interesting stories you tell your kid. It's not going to define your life. But right now it does, because that's their, and so getting to walk with them on that. And, but it's remembering I can't be a nerd all the time. I do have to be compassionate and understanding and whatnot. I totally just rambled that. I don't know if I actually answered anything.
So. No, you totally did. And I think you said what we always say, you know, I mean, anybody who's listened to the podcast for years is tired of hearing us say it, but it's all about relationships. It's all about caring for your people. You know, Jesus was in the people business. And if you're going to be involved in church, and if you're going to be in leadership in church, you're in the people business. He didn't come to save the console. He came to save the people. And so, you know, what we do with equipment and all that is just a vehicle to get us to our destination. That's not the people in the car, and it's not where we're going. And yep. It's very important. And I think tech people are learning that, you know, I think tech people are learning little by little that, you know, you got to take care of your people, or you're just not going to, and it makes it so much more enjoyable. Even if you're an introvert, if you take care of your people, it makes it so much more enjoyable.
So much better, yeah.
You know, to be the tech director, production manager, whatever. And it is a ministry. And you know what you were saying before? I loved what you were saying before, that these people come to you like you're the pastor. Whether you're on the pastoral staff, so you're considered a pastor. But even if you're not considered a pastor on the staff, if you have a bunch of volunteers, they see you kind of like a pastor.
They see you as that. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you're pastoring. And so you have to, I mean, you got to care for people. You know, if you've got to fire people off your volunteer staff because it's ruining their marriage, you got to do that. If you got to get people, we've all had this. Everybody's had this. I'm not saying that I had a camera guy that had a alcohol problem, and it affected him coming into church, and we had to help him get into counseling with the pastors and take him off the team and doing all that stuff. And I just sit there and tell him, I'm doing this because I love you. I'm doing this because I want you to succeed, and I can't have this, but it's not because I can't have this because it's wrecking the team. I can't have this because it's wrecking you, and I care about you, you know? So I think you got to be a pastor whether you want to be or not when you're doing this.
Right.
Cool. Well, hey, before we go, how do people get a hold of you? I know that you're one of these people, you're totally on social media all the time. And I know you love answering questions and just helping other churches and stuff like that. So if somebody's listening to this at a church that wants to ask a question about how you do stuff or whatever, what's the best way of getting a hold of you?
Yeah, I mean, you can get to me through, Facebook, all those things. I typically use, you know, Sean R. Miller for everything. So that's my, you know, Facebook, but SeanRMiller.com, RollingHills.Church, any of those, you know, I'm not very hard to find.
So, and we'll put some links in the show notes over at thesoundbooth.com. So well, Sean, thanks so much for being on. I really appreciate it. You're such a great guy, and I was glad we could finally make this happen. Folks, if you, I'm going to be on a broken record for a while because I really want this podcast to be a success. I know we've got most of our loyal listeners from Church Tech Weekly and the old Church Tech Profiles podcast, but I really would like to expand this. So if you know church techs that have not heard of this podcast, you know, send them over a link. We have a Facebook page, Church Tech Profiles. We have a Instagram account, Church Tech Profiles. We have a Twitter account, which is just Church Tech Pro, because of course we run out of letters. You always run out of letters on Twitter, in all those things. And there's all kinds of other stuff. There's Parler, there's Minds, there's all these other things that are starting to happen, but I haven't done any of those yet. I'm kind of just looking them out personally and just kind of seeing how the tech world is responding to those things. Mostly it's just political stuff right now with all those things. So I'm not really worried about it in the tech community, but anyway, so like, and subscribe to all that stuff. Tell a friend. You can get this on all the podcast apps and all that kind of stuff. So spread it around, repost all the posts that I put up. I really appreciate it. Thank you for listening so much. We'll have another great interview here coming up. So have a great week, and we'll talk to you later.